The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory.
When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? Or what can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." May the Lord be praised in the reading of his word. May we be blessed in its hearing, for this is the gospel of the Lord. Good morning again, everyone. I thought I should begin by introducing myself. Since I've not had this Mass before, I had the Saturday evening Mass a few weeks back. My name is Tom Batsis. I am a Carmelite. That's an O-Carm, not an O-C-D, just to clarify that part of it. I'm retired. I spent 30 years at Loyola Marymount University as a, not as a Jesuit, as a professor of child development and counseling. I loved the work that I did there. And right before I retired, I was called back to Crespi Carmelite High School over in Encino to be president for a few years. I finally, 2 years ago, called the provincial up and said, "It's time to retire." He agreed, so anyway, I'm retired now and enjoying the daylights out of it. That's another whole story. But right before Mass today, I asked our two servers, Alicia and Noah, right? I got your names right. What is a centipede? And they knew. Boy, they really filled me in on what a centipede is. Do you know what a centipede is? Because it plays a little bit into the story. I hear some yeses out there, huh? It's a multi-legged insect. Anyway, story goes that this gentleman decided he needed a pet. He went to the pet store and he bought a centipede. And something very special about this centipede was the fact that the centipede could talk. So he takes the centipede home, he gets up on Sunday morning, he says to the centipede, "I'm going to Mass this morning, church starts in about an hour, just want to let you know." Didn't hear a thing. A little bit later on, he said, "I'm going to leave in about 10 minutes. Nothing, not a word. Finally, he's at the door, and he said, "Okay, I'm leaving." And the centipede says, "I heard you the first time. I'm putting my shoes on." Now, that is totally unrelated to the homily today. What I'd like to talk about is I'm going to focus more on the first reading, the reading from Exodus, than from the third reading. You know, it's so apparent as you read, particularly in the first and the third readings, that these are Eucharistic readings, right? The bread from heaven, what is the bread from heaven? The bread from heaven is the Eucharist, right? So we can assume that when the early church was reading this particular gospel, that they were reading into it that Jesus was talking about Eucharist, and they were gaining, hopefully as we do, a better understanding of what Eucharist is. But I'd like to go back to that first reading where they talk about manna, the manna from heaven. The scripture scholars tell us that the word that we use, manna, is actually probably a little bit different word than the Israelites used. The word that they used is a word like manna, but it meant a question. What is it? What is this? Anyway, it was obvious that what happened was is they were being fulfilled. But I went, you know, they had left Egypt, right? Moses had taken them out of Egypt, away from slavery, as they acknowledge, and he brings them into the desert to go to Israel to claim the promised land. And what do? They complain, right? You brought us out here in this desert. We're going to starve to death. We're thirsty. We're dying. And look what's happening. Why didn't you just leave us in slavery, you know? How often do we, as we go through our lives, make much the same complaint? Maybe in a different way, but we complain about the condition that we're in. That whatever the crisis is that we're facing in our lives, that we just say, oh God, well God, where are you? Why aren't you helping me out here? Where is, you know, what is this all about? I was better before. I thought Bishop Barron did a wonderful exegesis of this particular reading, in which he said, you know, he said, sometimes we are so stuck in a place, in an addiction of some kind, no matter what that addiction is, and we just want so badly to get out of that addiction, and then sometimes we're just ready to give up and say, you know what, I was better off with the addiction. Why didn't I just leave it alone, just, you know, just go with the addiction, go with the alcoholism. Go back and just, that's what I need is, all my problems could be solved if I just had a good drink, right? Or whatever it might be, whatever the addiction might be, or the drugs, or the pornography, whatever it might be, if I just had that, I'd be all right. I could, you know, be all right. That would be our complaint. And yet, what we know is, in our lives, and this is something I think that is so important for us, particularly as Catholics, to understand and to recognize, the cross is ever a part of our lives. There's no way we ever escape it, right? I hope you see that. I hope that you understand that. The cross, in fact, we see the cross is present in every Catholic church. I once had a student a number of years ago. He wasn't Catholic, as you will see in the story, and he came up to me one day after class was over, and he said, Father, I want to ask you something. He said, why do you Catholics, do you ever get that question, you Catholics, why do you Catholics always put so much emphasis on the cross? He says, don't you know that we, and he goes on, and I thought, I kind of know what church he belongs to. He certainly doesn't belong to the Catholic Church, which I knew, of course, he was telling me that. But what is so important is, and I've tried to help him to understand, I don't think I got anywhere with it, that the cross, the church always reminds us that the cross is an important part of our lives, that that's the message of Christ. He overcame death, but nonetheless, the cross will always be visited upon each one of us in our sufferings. And so what do? We take solace, in a sense, in that fact. I sometimes wonder about parents who so, and I understand a part of this, but you know, parents who become so overprotective and they never want their children, you know, nothing wrong can ever happen in the child's life. They've always got to solve the child's problem, right? And I think what a terrible message that gives to the child, because at some point in our lives, we all face this terrible dilemma of the cross. And there isn't going to be somebody there, another human being, who's going to rescue us, right? We're all going to be faced with the suffering of the cross. Now, that may sound like a very negative message, right? Oh, you say, oh my goodness. But yet, I think there's something else that comes through. And this is what takes us to Eucharist. You know, brothers and sisters, our Holy Father, Pope Francis, reminds us that Eucharist is not the reward for doing the good. It's the medicine for those who are ill. And in our illness, in our suffering, that's when, in our sinfulness, that's when we need to be approaching Eucharist. That's when we especially need Eucharist. We need it every opportunity we have to take advantage of Eucharist, but especially in our sinfulness, in those times when we are suffering and when we are most in need, that Eucharist is there as that salve for our illness, for our depression, for our addictions, whatever it might be. Now, I'm not in any way saying that we set aside medical doctors or mental health professionals or something like that. No, they're there for our to aid us. But we also need to make use of every aid that is available to us. So as we continue with our liturgy today, let us ask God for the grace and the understanding that we may make use in an appropriate way of the manna from heaven, the Eucharist that Christ has given to us. God bless you.